Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Let this glorious Indian summer weather continue. It'll rain. We need rain badly, but it's coming. When is anyone's guess? Hey, we're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week on November 2nd and 3rd. First off, good luck to the youth pheasant hunters out there. It's a great day for them. And listen, if you didn't have a chance to register a youngster that wants to do the pheasant hunting, with an adult, they can hunt from 1 p.m. until sunset today on those management areas that have been stocked with birds. In the Rack Fin Radio listening area, looking at Assinpink, Colliers Mills, Glassboro, Millville, Peasley, and Winslow. And as a bonus, second or third year in a row, the youngsters can hunt this coming week. Again, the Monday through Friday as well, because a statewide pheasant and quail season opens next Saturday. We're going to be talking with Nate Figley. He is the Southern Region Lands Management Superintendent for DEP's Fish and Wildlife, in charge of the stocking of the ringnecks and the bobs down here. So that's coming up later in the show. Shout out. Long time no see. I think the guy's been listening to Rack and Fin since its inception 21 years ago. Shout out to Tuna Chuck Schneider, a guest over the years here and there on Rack and Fin Radio. Chuck, good to see you again, my little brother. Look good. Okay, we're getting back in the game. Hopefully we'll get on the water one of these days this fall, because the bass run is starting, man, off the beach in the back. And listen, just not for anything, remember Tuesday, if you haven't voted early, please vote. This is critical. Please vote. And you know my proclivities, you know who I'm backing. Please vote. Anyway, get ready. Coming up, we have, besides Nate Figley, we have Ron Jones, ACP Rednex Prime Outdoor Products. Rut not to do. Yes, the rut is on, man. It's going to be going hot and heavy probably, I'm saying 3 weeks. I say it's going to go right through into Thanksgiving. So grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Again, page 18 in the digest. Want to get the kids out there on a pheasant hunt. Fish and Wildlife put out tons. Beautiful, beautiful ringnecks. Whew. Man, wasn't I just a youth? Many decades ago. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. For complete contest rules, visit WPGTalkRadio.com.
Hello, I'm the Atlantic County Sheriff, Joseph O'Donohue. I've proudly dedicated my law enforcement career to keeping our community safe. But I also am a proud parent, grandparent, and great-grandparent who understands the importance of keeping our children safe. Motor vehicle crashes continue to be the leading cause of death for our children ages 1 to 12. No parent or caregiver wants to ever imagine that their child is involved in a car crash, but it's important to be prepared. Children should always be buckled up in the right seat, the right booster seat for their age, their height and weight, every ride, every time. A properly installed child safety seat can reduce the risk of injury by as much as 71% for infants and 54% for our toddlers. Atlantic County Sheriff's Office is definitely here to help. We have certified child passenger safety seat technicians available to properly install or check the position of your car seat at no charge. For more information, please call 609-909-7200 or visit acsheriff.org.
Macy's Friends and Family is going on right now, and it's the best time to shop for all the gatherings and gifting ahead. Use your coupon or Macy's card and take an extra 30% off the latest trends, new arrivals, and the best brands like Karl Lagerfeld Paris, Steve Madden, Hotel Collection, and more. And get 15% off beauty, too. Plus, get free shipping with any $25 purchase today at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
With Progressive, you get more than savings. You get access to us through our mobile app, online chat, or by phone.
Oh, I see what you're doing here, Jamie. Giving me all these ways to stay in touch so I have no excuse not to. Well, you're in luck, because this guy's in the market for a new BFF.
Actually, all our customers can contact us this way.
Oh, yeah, no, I was just kidding.
But I am always up for Taco Pizza!
Get help from Progressive through the website, app, chat, or phone. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Xfinity here. How can we help?
Hi. My entire family's obsessed with all things Wicked, but my kids can't stop watching the trailer, and now they're having a Wicked-themed sleepover. Do you think our internet can handle all of the streaming and memeing going on?
Well, we've engineered our Xfinity gateways to handle hundreds of devices at once, so they can all stay magically connected.
Wow. Are you a wizard?
I wish. No, just someone that won't let a bad connection burst your internet bubble.
Now through November 12th, Get thrillifyingly fast 300 megabit Xfinity internet with unlimited data included for just $30 a month for 12 months with no annual contract. Go to Xfinity.com to learn more. Keep the magic going from your screen to the big screen. And see Wicked, only in theaters November 22nd. Restrictions apply. Requires paperless plan to authorize your bank account. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra. After promo, regular rates apply. Currently $90 a month. Actual speeds vary.
Are you already doing digital advertising sales? Do you know all about targeted display, social media marketing, the latest in SEM and behavioral targeting? If so, you could be Townsquare Media's new advertising sales star. We're looking for passionate sales professionals to join our media and digital advertising team. If consulting and connecting local businesses with their ideal audience for growth sounds exciting, let's have a conversation about you working for Townsquare Media. The right career choice is all about timing, and right now is the perfect time to join our team as an advertising account executive. Our comp package is amazing with unlimited earning potential, including base salary, 401k match, and more, along with world-class training and plenty of room for growth. If you're competitive, driven, and have the ability to communicate great ideas, we want to hear from you. Reach out to Michael Rubel, Market President, at 609-910-5249 or visit careers.townsquaremedia.com. Townsquare Media is an equal opportunity employer.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5 and the WPG Talk Radio app.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of November 2nd and 3rd. Glorious month of November 11th. Turn of the calendar page brings with it a lot of things happening on the water, a.k.a. stripers going crazy. So some tune around. And man, and in the woods, the other day, it started. It's been going on, predicated on where you are and the local herd genetics and a whole bit. The rut's been going on for a few weeks now, even a little longer. But this one area that the other day, you can get the aroma, if you will. So rut is on, prime time to hunt if you have the permits, extended, bow permits or what have you. Great time for that. But hunting the rut, you always hear, and I've been a victim of this. I was a kid reading about it. The bucks occur, and I've seen bucks in backyards walking down main streets in suburban towns and during the rut. Blurry-eyed, the hope has seen that. But it's not always, they're going to show up at any time of the day, all that good stuff. Not always an easy gig. Rut not to do. I'll tell you, the hunting the rut could be one of the toughest times to get that buck that you've been after. I had to put a call into, after a situation I had there, they put a call into a good friend of Rack and Fin Radio since the beginning, Ronnie Jones, ACP Rednecks Pride Outdoor Products. By the way, you'll see him this weekend up there at the Fur Harvest Rendezvous, McKay's, what's that, Blueberry Farm, up there in Chatsworth today and tomorrow. Hang out, good stuff. I hope he's going to bring some of that trout scent. Whoa. And I said, Jonesy, what am I doing wrong yet again? Too much of this, not enough of that. Mock scrapes. I'm seeing scrapes everywhere. I said, Jones, man, help me out here. Help the old man out. Jones, can you help me out, bro? my lovely Dee Marie, before I put her on, congratulations to my girl. She's on her way home now from getting an international award out there in Chicago in her oncology research field. Good for my baby girl. But we're out there the other day looking around and says, I don't know, man. Didn't Ronnie say this, say that? Don't do this, don't do that. Yeah, we're in a different area. We're not on the edge of the boat. Anyway, make a long story short. Yet again, I'm humble, Jones. Rut not to do. I'm giving Dee Marie credit for that one. Ronnie, it's easy to deer around, show up at any time of day. We know that. But it's no guarantee. There's no guarantee. You think the odds would definitely jump in the bow hunter's favor? Not always so, man.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. As you said to me, what not to do, and
because I've been doing what I'm not supposed to do, evidently.
Well, I think the biggest what not to do is most people think that they take that scent and it's magic in a bottle, and whether you're a trapper, and we're saying this as a trapper, or a deer hunter using scent, the mindset is, well, I've got this scent and I'm going to put it out there, and every deer for 500 miles is going to come running in, and that's not that's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had this discussion the other day with a gentleman, and he was against scents and all that, because he said they could never work. And I think you heard the story. I got into deer scent manufacturing to prove that it didn't work way back in 1990.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I was a hotshot deer hunter, and I hunted the wind and all that, and never got sent to work. None of it. The good stuff. Davy Bracken's, TC, you know, 69, all that stuff. I couldn't get it to work.
Tanks. Tanks.
And, right. And you know, I started making deer scent to prove that it wouldn't work. In other words, I was challenged by a guy to do everything I possibly could to make the scent. That way, if I did everything I possibly could to make the scent and make it work, if it didn't work, then it was proof. Okay. And what I found was, I was doing everything wrong. Okay. and it's that simple. I was a trapper that I could catch a fox or a raccoon with scent, but I couldn't kill a deer with scent, and I couldn't figure it out. And the first thing is, everybody that I talk to, I'm going to try this. Well, as soon as I hear that, I cringe. Oh my gosh, I cringe. Okay, because what I know is going to happen is they're going to go out and they're just going to throw this stuff out there, and then when it doesn't work, mm-hmm. it's going to be a while. It just doesn't work. So it's not magic in a bottle. First thing that people do wrong is they rely on the scent to do the job instead of their brain. And I don't know if that's making sense to the folks out there or not. In order for scent, even a bait pile, no matter what you use as an attractant, okay, you're trying to attract a deer. The number one thing is you have got to put that in the spot that the deer want to be. You can't draw them. You can't, especially when, you know, where you're only going out once a week, and you take a bottle of whatever, and then you put it out there. You're not going to draw that deer there. And I tell people all the time, listen, you want to kill deer consistently with scent, you got to know your deer. I'm not talking about knowing deer behavior overall. I'm talking about know your deer, the deer you're hunting. You've got to know their time frames, or pretty close to it. You can't know them exactly. Like you said, they move all day long.
Right, this time of year, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, but you've got to know, where are they bedding? Do they still got to sleep?
Right.
Okay, I know that old boy's trying, but he gets tuckered out. He's still got to sleep, okay? And you got the doe, she's still sleeping, all right? So you've got to know where they're sleeping. You got to know where they're feeding. You got to know everything in between. The more you know about your herd of deer, the more consistent scent becomes. So I think the biggest mistake is believing that it's magic in a bottle. You want to put it out, it's a magic wand and a crystal ball, and it just don't work. Okay,
right, Ronnie. Let me interrupt you a second. But the deer too, especially the older bucks, anything now. They're still going to stick to the core, inner core of their patterns. I mean, the patterns could be different, but still, where I'm going to sleep and where I'm going to eat, even though, you know, they lose the weight, all that, you know, happy stuff, whatever. And they don't eat as often, but they will have to eat. So, again, this is where trying to get that pattern within a scattered pattern, to me, is just the toughest part of the rut, because you don't know what's happening, except for those where he's going to bed and where he's going to eat.
You just hit the nail on the head, and this is where another thing guys aren't thinking about, or folks, okay? He may not be eating as much, he may not be sleeping as much, but he's doing everything he possibly can, okay, to spend time with her. And she's still got to eat, and she's still got to sleep, okay? So, you know, it's his core area is still his core area. Now, we all know Buck's range, and he may be 4 miles away and whatever, but that will become that core area at that point. And the key is know your doe, okay? Know your does like the back of your hand, and imitate them with the scent. See, I don't know if it's obvious what I'm trying to say here, but what I'm saying is scent is not this magic potion. It is a replica or a image of nature.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, when we could make the real stuff, okay, TC plus,
mm-hmm.
And man, I'm getting phone calls all over from out in Ohio and all that. I am dying. I can't make this stuff. I got to find a place in Delaware to make this stuff. All right. But anyway, the scent was a replica or an image of what's happening in nature. The estrogens, which you can't mm-hmm. keep, but you know, and everything associated with the estrogen. In other words, the scent that we would make and was imitating a dough in heat, or a dough wanting to go into heat, or a dough starting to go into heat. And thus the buck, who's not on a dough with estrogen, would say, oh, maybe I got a chance here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And that's the key there. Understanding your deer, particularly understanding your doe. And I hear a lot of guys say, well, I want 20 does there. Well, that's good. That's a good draw. But all you need to know really is that this early season is that big dominant doe.
The uno doe, man. The uno doe.
If you got two big old does out there, they're typically, not all the time, but typically they're the first ones that's going to come into heat.
Mm-hmm.
If you can understand where they're going, what they're doing, why they're doing it, okay, then you can apply the scent in these places to create the image that the buck's saying, oh, there's something going on here. It's you know, it's a Friday night and wherever, okay, type atmosphere. I think the next problem that most guys do, and it's the biggest problem, and everybody does it. I did it. They go to their stand. They want the deer out in front of them. Most of us hunters, even some hunters, but most of us want the deer upwind of the stand, correct? I mean, that's mm-hmm. just a common. Now, some guys hunt a flank wind. Some guys hunt a face wind. But for the most part, you always want the deer up in front of your stand, upwind of you, some way. And what guys will do is they'll take a bottle of whatever, okay, and they'll take a T-shirt or a rag or something like that, and they'll go up 10, 15, 20 yards directly upwind. So if 12 o'clock is upwind, all right, they'll go up 15 yards to 12 o'clock position, and they'll hang this hanger, you know, 4, 5, 6 feet off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sit there and they watch and they watch and they watch. Why do they do that? That's where they want the deer to go so they can shoot it. All right. Without even thinking, it's upwind, right? And at 6 feet, where's that scent landing? Probably about, if you're at 15 yards, probably about 15, 20 yards behind you.
There you go.
Okay.
Ronnie, listen, you have to hold that thought. We're up against a hard break. We have on Ron Jones, ACP, Rednecks Pride Outdoor Products. What not to do this magical 3 to 4 week period, although the secondary rut, tertiary rut, what have you. People, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio with Ronnie Jones.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's Talk Station.
Bullet points.
I'm Eben Brown. Gun laws in the state of New York continue to be the focus of federal courts. Ever since the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in the 2022 Bruin case, which undid many of New York State's strict gun controls, the state and the city of New York have been trying new laws aimed at stopping people from carrying firearms, even if they might legally own them. Bruin created a test of new gun laws needing a historical precedent. But now a federal appeals court rules the state does have the power to keep people from carrying otherwise legal firearms in so-called sensitive places such as schools, parks, bars, mass transit, even locales like Times Square. The Second Circuit is basing this finding off another recent Supreme Court decision, the Rahimi case, which ruled that states could keep firearms away from people subject to domestic violence restraining orders. And those are your bullet points. I'm Eben Brown, Fox News.
It's happening again.
Those missed tackles are starting to stack up. Your friends pleading with players who can't hear them, sweating it out week after week. But not you. Why? Because whether they score or not, there's always another way to win on the Bet Parks Casino app. New casino users score up to $1,000 bonus back in their first 24 hours.
Gambling problem? Call 800-GAMBLER. Must be 21 plus. Located in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Michigan. New users only. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Casino bonus must be wagered.
Parks Casino, this is how you win. Come join the fun and nightlife at 360. In the middle of all the action on the casino floor. Friday, November 8th, Triple Rail Turn rocks Parks. Saturday, November 9th, Shorty Long and the Jersey Horns takes the stage. Plus, Joe Conklin's Comedy Night every other Thursday. Follow Parks Casino on social for complete entertainment schedule, including national headliners coming to the Excite Center. Parks Casino, this is how you win.
Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Robinhood is introducing forecast contracts so you can trade the presidential election. Through Robinhood, you can now trade financial derivatives contracts on who will win the U.S. presidential election, Harris or Trump, and watch as contract prices react to real-time market sentiment. Each contract you own will pay $1 on January 8th, 2025, if that candidate is confirmed as the next U.S. president by Congress. Learn more about the presidential election contracts on Robinhood at www.robinhood.com/election. The risk of loss in trading commodity interests can be substantial. You should therefore carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your financial condition. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Commodity interest trading is not appropriate for everyone. Display prices are based on real-time market sentiment. This event contract is offered by Robinhood Derivatives, a registered futures commission merchant and swap firm. Exchange and regulatory fees apply. This station does not recommend any specific investment.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
We have Ron Jones on the line with us right now. Ronnie, two things I want to cover. Again, that scent, the scent cone, putting it up, you got to be a little more careful with, again, as you said earlier in the last segment, placement. And also, Ron, I want to talk briefly, as we're up against a hard break here, you know, the grunts, the rattling. So what do we got, Ron? Again, early going, and it's going to intensify as the days progress. So what do we got?
Well, your scent cone, like you said, bucks are cruising. And if you only put the scent up in front of you, out, and that scent cone now is going to blow through you. It's going to combine your human odor, okay? If you only put it up and straight up in front of you, all right, upwind, it's going to blow through you, and it's going to blow 20, 30 yards below you. So the only way the buck is even going to pick up the scent, number one, is if he's right straight behind you. And then number two, your scent is combined with that scent of the product. So I always tell guys, look, go out in your 2 and your 10 position, okay? Your 2 o'clock and your 10 position. Mm-hmm. All right, go 15, 20 yards out on your right flank, 15, 20 yards out on your left flank. Put your hangers there. That way your cruising boxes are coming in from your left flank or coming in from your right flank. They pick up the scent before they get into your scent cone and then work their way right on up into that scent. Also, don't use too much. You know, guys talk about the buck standing there 30 yards away just looking, and I'm saying you're using too much, okay? Guys will use a half a bottle. Okay. The buck is smelling that strong stuff and he's saying, where's she at? I don't see her. Okay.
Right,
that type of a thing. You know, when you talk about grunting and rattling, I do that all season. Okay. And I raise eyebrows. Okay. I know that. I know it's going to, here's phone calls coming in.
You're killing me, Joe. Listeners. Hey, if you have any questions, call me. Get to the New Jersey Fur Harvesters of McKay's Blueberry Farm today and tomorrow. Go to the ACP booth exhibit, whatever. It's a big day. Talk to Ronnie there. Go ahead, Jonesy. Sorry.
Anyway, you know, as soon as they shine up their horns, I know it's antlers, but I call them horns. As soon as they shine them up and make them hard.
He knows that drives me crazy, people.
They're going to start sparring. Okay, so the deer are going to, you know, in October, they're going to start to hear a little tickle, tickle, tickle. Mm-hmm. You know, the same thing with vocals. Deer vocalize all year long. All right, so I always add the tickle, tickle. And I add the little grunts and the little vocals. You don't go heavy. You don't go strong. You don't go nuts. Okay. But I still do it a little bit. until Halloween. And then when Halloween hits, what's that, yesterday?
Yeah.
Or 2 days ago.
2 days ago, whatever, yeah.
Yeah.
This time of year, Ron, I'm even more scrambled than normal. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't even pay attention to Halloween anymore. But other than Halloween is the day. That's when it all starts. Okay, mm-hmm. every old timer knows that October 31st to March to November 15th. That's your time. Okay, and at that point, your bucks are really fired up or getting fired up. Then you can go a little heavier on your rattling and your grunting and, mm-hmm. and what have you. Another thing that I see happen all the time, and you mentioned it earlier, the scrapes are showing up like crazy now, right? And everybody gets excited about the scrape, and I do too. The problem is you find a scrape line, and you go grab your bottle of muck scrape stuff, whatever, and then you go to that scrape, and you put it right in that scrape, okay? And then they say to me, "Did deer stop using it?" Why? I said, well, it's subdominant buck. Okay. Not every buck out there is the big boss. Mm-hmm. Okay. The majority of the bucks are not the big boss. And what happens is this, they put out their, they're timid. That big old boy, they're saying I'm here, but they're kind of still afraid of him. It's like two guys mouthing off to each other and neither one of them wants to swing. Okay.
Your analogies are great, Jonesy. I can relate.
That subdominant, he's saying to him, yeah, you think you're big and bad. And the only problem is he knows that big old buck is big and bad. Okay. So here's what happens when you put your scent in an existing scrape. If he's a subdominant, you intimidated him. Okay. But here's what I tell people. Go 10 yards upwind of that scrape and put in another mock scrape. What you've done at this point is you intimidated that subdominant buck. In other words, he's saying, yeah, I'm here. What do you want to do about it? But I'm staying just far enough out of your reach.
There you go.
Okay.
<Yeah. laughs>
All right. Don't put your human odor. And it's not the human odor that I'm concerned with. It's the human odor, the mock scrape stuff in a subdominant scrape. You just cause a little bit of freak out in him. All right. Now, if you did that to a dominant buck, you're going to see him tear that scrape up even more. And then you're going to see two or three other scrapes coming in there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But you never know when you've got a dominant buck. Plus, you want the dominant buck to think there's another buck that just moved in, which infuriates him even more. So don't go up to the scrape. If you find a scrape line, go in between their scrapes and just add a few mock scrapes just to piss him off just a little bit.
Okay, right. Ron, yeah, that'll get him fired up. Listeners, Ronnie Jones, ACP Rednecks Pride Outdoor Products. He is at the New Jersey Fur Harvesters at McKay Blueberry Farm there in Chatsworth. Very easy to get to. I'll hopefully get there either this afternoon or tomorrow. If you have any questions on it, go see the ACP. But Ron, you got a big booth as always, and it's always, hey, Ron, I'm here. You see me. Hey, Tom P., how's it going? Because he has 3-4 people deep. You kill it there, Jonesy.
Well, hopefully. It's a little early yet, but hopefully it's going to be a good one.
Okay, Ron, listen, you take care, man. Hope to see you out there. Listeners, rut not to do. Check it out. Jones, you take care, man. Best of Don and the crew.
Yeah, I'll see everybody out there.
See
Talk to you, Tom.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, rut not to do, boy. Get a deer here, I'm fine. I'm happy with the doe, whatever, but just watching and this is the perfect time when you say, okay, you go hunting when you have the opportunity to go. This is it, man. These next 3 weeks, especially because they can show up anytime, anywhere. Their core. Although, I'll tell you, this water situation, sitting up near a water source, as dwindling as they may be, could be a game changer. Okay, people, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio, talking pheasant and quail stalking with DEP Fish and Wildlife Southern Region Land Superintendent Nate Figley. Pheasants and Bobs start next Saturday. Be right back.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5. South Jersey's Talk Station.
Fox News. I'm Deborah Valentine. Both presidential candidates rallying in Milwaukee, Wisconsin Friday night. Democratic nominee Vice President Kamala Harris telling supporters this about former President Trump.
This is someone who is increasingly unstable, yeah. Obsessed with revenge. Yeah. He is consumed with grievance. Yeah. And the man is out for unchecked power.
GOP nominee Trump remarking on Friday's jobs report, finding under the Biden-Harris administration, just 12,000 jobs were created for September.
They have among the worst numbers ever in history. Nobody's ever heard. They did 12,000 jobs. Normally you're 250, 300,000, 400,000. They did 12.
Economists say back-to-back hurricanes and Boeing strikes contributed to the low employment gains. America's listening to Fox News.
Your WPG Atlantic City Electric AccuWeather forecast for South Jersey. For today, partly sunny, breezy and cooler, high 64. Tonight, mainly clear, low 33. Tomorrow, sunny to partly cloudy. A warm-up is on the way with a high of 61. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy skies in the area, low 33. On Monday, a mix of clouds and sun with a high of 67. Monday night, partly cloudy skies with a low of 50. I'm AccuWeather's Caitlin Lawrence on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Yo, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of November 2nd and 3rd. 1 week from today, opening of without a doubt, you know, the deer season is popular, the waterfowl, everything's great this time of year. But the most popular in 2 months of intensity, the pheasant and quail seasons are open, aka the stocking schedule that will run till, I think this year is going to run till, wow, New Year's Eve, December 31st. We have lots of properties here, lots of wildlife management areas, good lands management there, planting the legumes and everything. Good cover, plenty of birds. This weather, though, was, man, we need some water. We need some water fast. But, you know, you always hear, it's always like clockwork, always around the stocking time into the season, into November, into December. They didn't stock no birds. Ain't no birds being stocked. Ah, they stocked over here. They're putting them in their favorite spots. Stop that. We have an outstanding pheasant and quail stocking program here to get the nuts and bolts on. We're talking numbers here. Let's see. For this season, and all is said and done, we're looking at, again, all said and done, if anything goes according to plan, 57,480 ringnecks and 11,000 bobwhites. Now, the bobwhites are going to be on Greenwood and Peasley WMAs, and one in Ocean County, one in Cumberland County. We know that. But you have loads of up north, yeah, in that size of management areas. So you got in the central and southern region, especially. Lots of birds going out in the pheasant realm of things. Joining us online right now is DEP Fish and Wildlife Southern Region Lands Management Superintendent. Fairly frequent guest on Rack and Fin Radio this time of year is Nate Figley. We're going to be talking the numbers. Nate, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing, Tom?
Good. You have a great crew, by the way. Before we get going, how's that wonderful family?
Doing really good. Okay. Getting older and going in a million different directions.
There you go. Now you're like a paramecium, man. You're spread all over the place. Well, Nate, it's people are fired up, all excited again. This is the 2 months of intensity, probably the most popular hunting period in the Garden State, the ringneck and the bobwhite stocking. You have great lands management out there. The fields are in beautiful shape, although we need some water. We need some water badly. But, Nate, the birds look okay? Everything up and up?
Yeah, everything's lining up really good. We've been in contact with our vendors who we're getting the birds from, and everything seems to be good.
Nate, the numbers seem steady, which is great in that regard. And, again, managing these fields in the spring, I mean, there are plans already set for, again, the mowing down, the replanting. Sometimes you see fields with corn or this or that. What kind of management insofar as planting for the birds does the Bureau of Wildlife Management do?
So we take a lot of different avenues on this. Typically, we do a field rotation. So every 3 years, we will go in and plow and replant. And typically, our food plot mixtures are dwarf sorghum and buckwheat.
Oh yeah,
that's what we typically do during our spring plantings, which then, you know, in the fall, translate over into good cover for the birds. It almost looks like corn stubble, you know, by the time hunting season comes around.
Nate, insofar as getting the bird, this is a big thing, people, is this. I've been on stockings over the years for blogs and magazine articles, et cetera. Nate, it's a Herculean undertaking. I mean, the logistics involved, getting the birds out there, stocking late afternoon, that's been changed tonight. Nate, to the numbers themselves, I mean, how, for example, just say Mad Horse will get this number of birds. Well, Millville, a.k.a. Bevins, that's the biggest spot in South Jersey. They get that number of birds. Port Republic, Tuckahoe, Winslow. How are the birds portioned out? Is it the number of fields, available habitat, access, hunting pressure? What's the dealio?
So back in 2016, we took an objective approach on how we selected the number of birds to be distributed on each wildlife management area, and that was through what is known as our pheasant allocation formula.
Mm-hmm.
So we took two primary factors into consideration, and that's stocked acreage, and that stocked acreage is based on the field acreage on that particular wildlife management area. And then we looked at the proximity to our stamp buyers. So, you know, if it's a WAMA that is proximate to a lot of our stamp buyers, it would then get more birds than an area that is a lot further away from our, mm-hmm. our primary users.
Well, I know one of the questions in the survey, and you know me, Nate, I'm a meat man. Are you willing to travel for birds? Sure. You know, that's one of the great things is with all these management areas, WAMAs, as Nate refers to them, is just beautiful properties and definitely worth exploring. You tend to get in a rut, Nate, you know, well, you're familiar with a tract or a couple of tracks, whatever, and you know, but to me, exploring the whole thing, like getting down to Nantucket and places like that, that's fascinating cover.
It is, yeah. And that's one thing that's extremely unique about New Jersey itself is how much it changes when you're talking about going from the tip of Cape May all the way up north to the Delaware Water Gap. Just the topography,
yep.
And, you know, you have the flora changes as well. So it's a really interesting state to live in and, you know, hunt in too, because you have a lot of different opportunities,
Nate,
a lot of different backdrops.
Nate, to the logistics of the stockings itself, what goes down, and then these birds are stocked the evening prior, correct? The one big question that comes in, Nate, is the weather factor. I mean, you got sometimes, especially end of November into December, you have rain, possibly snow. It can get pretty dicey.
Yeah, so that's one of the reasons why we go out in the evening to do our stocking instead of stocking them like the morning of, you know, a couple hours prior to shooting time.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do have, you know, weather issues and vehicles, you know, get stuck because
yep.
it's wet, you know, a tree falls down and blocks a road, you know, there's all kinds of different scenarios that pop up. The last thing we want is for hunters to get out there and the birds not to be there because we were delayed for some reason or another. But by going out in the evenings, that gives us an opportunity to overcome any obstacles that we do run into. Pheasant, you know, we'll typically stock them no matter what the weather is, you know, in the evening. Every now and then, especially when we get later on, like later into December, we take temperatures into consideration when it Oof. Comes to the quail. And
oh, yeah.
or precipitation. If it's going to rain a lot, we try and hold off until just prior to shooting time in the morning to get out there and stock the birds.
Right now, I was just going to ask you, I remember time last year, man, this rain was coming down in five different directions. And we held off, and somehow you guys, oh, we were hunting the forge. You put those birds were out there. These are, when the hell did they put these things? I said, I don't know, man. But they were running around in little raincoats. But they were out there, man.
Yeah, and the pheasant are pretty hardy where, you know, they're raised in outside pens. So, mm-hmm. you know, when it rains where they're being raised, they get wet there too. So they're used to that. Quail, unfortunately, if they get real wet, they tend to not fly as well. And if the temperatures then drop, you know, you do lose some at that point. So that's why with quail in particular, we try and hold off if the weather's not quite right for it.
Joining us on Rack and Fin Line this morning is Nathan Figley, DEP Fish and Wildlife Southern Region Lands Management Superintendent, in charge of the stocking of the birds down here. We have quail and we have pheasants going out. Well, Nate, I have to ask you, as we discussed this over there the other day, but again, it happens every year, and sometimes it's the same people you see. But again, in my travels, you know, I've been lucky. It's everyone's pretty happy with the program. But Nate, the naysayers, they didn't stock. Ain't no birds been put out. Blah, 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 blah. And I said, the one guy said, "Yo, excuse me, sir, but I helped them stock that night. I know the birds were put. Who the hell are you?" You know, it gets contentious sometimes. Dealing with that, Nate, I mean, imagine the Bureau gets calls.
Certainly, we certainly do. Yeah, we feel quite a few of those calls. And the one thing that, you know, I want everybody to understand, it is called hunting. And you sometimes you do have to work really hard for them. Sometimes, you know, you'll go into an area where you get into a bunch of birds. And, you know, one thing that happens at night, once you put those birds out, they have the ability to move around. You know, they have feet, they have wings, and they do talk back and forth. And if you ever go quail hunting, you'll hear them calling back and forth, and they like to congregate.
Just before dark, it's like a concert over there in Greenwood.
Yep. Yeah, and they call each other into groups, and, you know, there might be a lot of territory where there aren't birds, and then when you finally get to where the groups are, you start seeing a lot more birds, obviously. And one thing with quail in particular that we do, depending upon time of year, so earlier on, what we'll try and do is stock, you know, four or five in a group as the weather's warm. And then as the temperatures drop, we'll put them out in bigger groups. But our goal is to spread them out as best as possible across the entire area that we stock.
Listen,
they have wings and feet, and they move around. So it's different every day.
Listen, the number of birds and the stocking dates are on page 55 of the digest. Stocking is usually the night before for Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And what I found over the many decades, I remember when, listen, this is how old I am. I remember when there was no pheasant stamp, and then the first pheasant stamp was $5. Ah, yeah, that's how old I am. Well, Nate, you know, I used to hunt with Moses. But anyway, that's another situation all over. But Nate, picking your times, especially our fave is it's going to be a Saturday, it's going to be late afternoon, maybe an hour before, you know, the closing time, a half hour of sunset, or a Tuesday afternoon, or a Thursday late morning. Listen, you pick your times. Of course, Saturdays are going to be busy, for lack of a better term. Also, Tuesday and Thursday mornings can be busy, not quite as a Saturday. But Nate, the quality's out there for the $40 pheasant stamp. Listen, I don't know if you've checked prices of the preserves lately. Again, a whole different scenario there, but you better get ready for a second mortgage, man. And Nate, the $40 is a dealio.
Yeah, I spend quite a bit of time. I have a lab that, you know, I love just getting out in the field with, and he's pretty darn good at, you know, finding pheasant and quail. And for $40, you know, I get to hunt, from, you know, the opening day on, I believe it's November 9th this year, all the way through, you know, December. And I can hunt a lot of different areas throughout the state. So to me, it's well worth it. I also fish, and I know every time I go to the fuel dock at the end of the day, quite expensive as compared to a $40 pheasant stamp. And just the amount of time that you're allotted to hunt, you know, there's a lot of time to recreate on that $40. So in my opinion, it's well worth it. And, you know, I enjoy doing it a lot too. So that's another reason why it's worth it for me.
And hey, shout out to a lot of people that we know out there in the fields. And it's usually two thumbs up. Again, these are the guys that the old timers like me, that even some of the young guns, pun intended, that know how to pick their times. They have good dogs, whatever. And I'll tell you, the dog makes a big difference. As we mentioned, those hens especially, I mean, they'll hide in a patch of cover to make a mouse claustrophobic. And I saw that to a point where this dog was pointing. Shout out to Gunner. I mean, Gunner's, he's on. I said, what's he pointing? A patch of grass, Skip. There's a pheasant in there. There's no. Nate, I'm telling you, it wasn't the size of a baseball cap. And that hen came right. We're all like, duh. And I think she's still flying. Just to go show you, there are always going to be birds out there, you know, within reason towards, unless, you know, you really get the heavy-duty snowstorms and then boom.
Yeah, and you always trust your dog. Dog knows better than you. I've seen that quite a bit in my own experiences out there. And the number of birds that I have flushed just walking around as compared to the number my dog has flushed it's pretty overwhelming in the dog's favor.
Nate, one thing I have to ask you before we go, we're up against a hard breaker. Nate Figley, he is the DEP's Fish and Wildlife Southern Region Lands Management Superintendent in charge of the stocking of the birds down here. Nate, in the case of a weather event, will DEP, Fish and Wildlife, put out a press release or a notice or something on their Facebook page, stocking may be delayed or canceled, God forbid? Will they alert the public?
Yeah, we would do our best to alert the public, and we would go to our mass media, like Facebook, right, and email. So if you're, you know, signed up to get those emails, you would get that. I don't, in my career here, I don't think there have ever been any issues like that. And I know we've had some pretty large snow events I mean, it was difficult to get to the fields, you know, the following day, but the birds were out there. But again, yeah, we would notify, do the best as possible. We would definitely post it to our website, and we would send out any way we possibly could to try and disseminate that information out to our hunting public.
Nate Figley, thanks for joining us on Rockerman, spreading the word. Listeners, next Saturday, Pheasant and Quail opens, $40 pheasant stamp, pheasant and quail stamp. A lot of birds being put out. The season will conclude December 31st, New Year's Eve. And Nate, I noticed, it seems, again, all my years here, especially down here in South Jersey, it seems that after shotgun week, you know, buck week, the number of birds naturally, stock goes down, but so do the number of uplanders dramatically. I mean, a lot of times I had fields to myself. Like, whoa, and the birds were out there. I guess, you know, maybe it's the hunting clock here after deer season. That's it. Then it turns to a coastal waterfowl or something. But listeners, later in the season, the last couple of weeks especially, they put out birds, and hunting pressure is nowhere near what it was in the beginning or even in the middle of the stocking season. It's a great time. Well, Nate, thanks for joining us. Hope to see you in that bulldozer of a lab out in the field one of these days.
Sounds good. Yeah, Tom, and there's one last thing that I just wanted to note. I do a lot of hunting with my kids and friends and other family, but the one real nice thing about if you have a youth hunter, they have a quail and pheasant stamp that comes free along with their license. We stock birds for a youth day, which is the Saturday prior to opening day. Hunters are allowed to continue to hunt for the entire following week, so the week leading up to the statewide opening day.
Youth day is today, and it's going to run through the week. I know what there's 10 whammas that are stocked.
Oh boy, hit me with that one again.
Yeah, you got the 10 whammas, right?
Yes, yeah, that's correct. And even if you're listening to this right now and you think you might be too late, we do stock additional birds after 1 o'clock, which you can go out and hunt those, you know, immediately after that, and then all the following week.
And the great volunteers, are there in the youth pheasant, the guys and mentors with the dogs, great dog work. And Nate, you see the kids' faces, man. Their smiles are too big for their heads. That's how fired up these kids get. Well, Nate, you take care, man. We'll see you. I tell you, you and the dozer, we'll do some birding.
All right. Sounds good.
Take care, brother. Be good. Thanks.
Yep. That's it.
$40. Can't beat it. Way long in that segment. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hi, this is Gordon Deal. Coming up on This Weekend, with the presidential election this week, some voters expect permanent damage to the country if their candidate loses. We'll examine that mindset. Also, could artificial intelligence hurt your job prospects? A vast majority of hiring managers don't like resumes that use AI. Your best practices. And what would you buy if you suddenly had an obscene amount of money? That and more on This Weekend.
This morning at 6 on WPG Talk Radio 95.5.
Hi, this is Brighton Richards with Apex E-Surfing. You know, the blonde-haired girl in the pink truck. Don't you just hate high-pressure sales guys that try and force you into making a decision on the spot? We're not like that. We're a family-owned business that can give you a quote in 30 seconds at apexeastroofing.com. Not sure the size of your roof? No problem. Give us a call and we'll come out. We have a 5-star rating on Google with nearly 200 reviews.
Get a price on your roof in 30 seconds at apexeastroofing.com.
A person makes the time for what they love.
And we make the space. 1-800-GOT-JUNK makes the space.
We make the space for possibility.
The space for yoga.
The space for lifting weights.
The space for dancing.
The space for living your best life.
And what does a person need to do to make all this happen?
All you have to do is point.
We make space for possibility.
When you want to make junk disappear,
call 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
WPG Talk Radio 95.5. For complete contest rules, visit WPGTalkRadio.com.
Okay, that'll do it for this week on Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. But hey, wait, quick, on the water, fish report. A little later on, Captain Dave, the Rave Show, Lipsinga Bay Sports and Center, 81 Natalie Terrace, and I'm seeing you. Wait a little later in the morning for this. Dave, what is happening? What are you catching? Bass, and more bass?
I'll tell you what, there's bass, and more bass, but this weather has been incredible, man. It's just been a great July out here for the last 2 weeks.
July?
seriously, the wind's been down, the water's clear, the fish are biting, and you just can't ask for much more.
Dave, gulp deal, bucktail deal, paddletail deal, live spot deal, what's the word?
Right now, it seems like the live spot's better. I think we're looking at too much sun and the temperature's a little high. You haven't really got them turned on in the shallows yet, but all these deep sloughs along the deep side banks are giving up fish. Nothing, no giant numbers, but they're there. There's some big fish. I had a 25 pounder.
Nice.
Middle of the week.
Uh-huh.
We've had over 31 inches almost every day.
Fantastic.
Had that magical keeper slot is out here in the back bay. That's a prime fish. We're catching plenty of in the keeper slot. And if you got your slot tags, it should be no problem at all to take home dinner.
Okay, Captain Dave, how does this augur for the upcoming week? What are you hearing weather-wise, condition-wise? Are you going to get a drop in the water temperature? Is it going to get colder at night? What's the deal?
Well, it's going to. Yeah, I'll guarantee you that. That's not false news. It will get colder as the month of November goes on. But seriously, it's good. We can use a temperature drop. You know, it's still 60 degrees. Imagine that. It's 60 degrees in November.
Cap, are you hearing any bluefish in the back, or are they all out front now?
There's been a couple caught in the back, but they're not many. I've only lost a couple of tails on my live baits, and we have them going out 6 hours a day swimming around. So
okay.
They're not much in here, but they are around.
Okay, Cap, for today, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, what's the right tide? Outgoing, incoming? What?
This is the perfect week. We got this new moon week. Catch a couple hours of the incoming and catch a couple hours of the outgoing. And you're going to have a good day.
Okay, Captain Dave, be safe out there underwater. Catch you this week, man. I'll be by. By the way, how's Sugar?
Oh, Sugar, she's just waiting for me to bring her a fish. You know that. They're all bigger than she is, but goddamn, they wouldn't be a keeper if they weren't. Okay.
See you later, man. And that's it for this week on Rock and Fin Radio. As Nate Figley said, it's not too late. Get out there for the youth pheasant hunt. You still go out there again in the afternoon after 1 o'clock. Plenty of places to hunt in the Rockfin Radio listening area. We got Assapink, Kyers Mills, Glassboro, Millville, Peasley, and Winslow. And the youngsters can hunt Monday through next Friday as well. Okay, it's sort of a happy new year for the youth hunters. It's a great thing. This time of year is just fantastic, and it's going to get better. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Man, November already. See you next weekend, Rack and Fin Radio. Hopefully see you at the Fur Harvesters Convention in the Pines at the McKay's Blueberry Farm in Chatsworth. I'll be there when hanging by the food truck. See you there, man. Rack and Fin Radio.